Now, to go about social change of this variety, where we don't see people as evil who are doing the actions that we see interfering with our needs being fulfilled, to go about social change out of that energy requires at times doing some despair work. Despair work as defined by Joanna Macy. And this kind of despair work helps us to deal with the pain that we're feeling as a result of what is happening, out of sometimes our feeling of powerlessness to do anything about it. When we do the kind of despair work that Joanna Macy talks about, we transform our feeling of powerlessness and despair, and it helps us to come out with a transformative spirituality. That's a term that Ken Wilber terms to use the kind of consciousness, the kind of spirituality that supports our social change effort. It's a spirituality in which we are energized by our consciousness of how life can be better served in another way, and we come out with joy and pleasure at the image of how it can be, rather than be motivated by anger and bitterness toward the people who are presently creating the structures that are. When we have this transformative spirituality, we need to integrate it with political consciousness. We need to really understand how the structures are working that are oppressing us. We have to watch out for the kind of spirituality that simply gets us trying to get the right attitude within ourselves, that helps us to live happily and spiritually within a world where there's a lot of violence, out of the hope that if we can just transform ourselves, the energy radiating from us will contribute to change. I'm convinced that we need more than that kind of spirituality. We need a spirituality that not only helps us to transcend our bitterness and our anger, but that is integrated with a real consciousness of what is happening that's creating the violence and that mobilizes us to create change, not just to hope that by purifying ourselves, the energy coming from us will create the change. One of my social change objectives for the last several years has been to do what I can do to contribute to transforming our judicial system from one based on the concept of retributive justice to one based on restorative justice. Our present judicial system, retributive justice, comes out of a spirituality that I'm very concerned about, that I feel does great violence on our planet. I talked about this in previous sessions. I'm talking about that kind of spirituality that is based on the concept that there are superiors who know what is right and who, on the basis of their judgments, have the right to punish or reward people. If people are judged as bad, then these people who call themselves superiors have a right to give these people what they deserve. This concept of deserve is central to the concept of retributive justice. And if the superior judges people as good, then they reward them. Our judicial system is based on this way of thinking, that there are people who know what's right and what's wrong and who therefore have the right to punish people when they deserve it. Within cultures that have this system, people in positions of authority use that concept of justice. So parents believe that since they are superior to children, They have the right to punish or reward them when they judge the child as deserving those treatments. Unfortunately, many teachers use the same form of spirituality based on these judgments by superiors. The concept that I'm interested in supporting is restorative justice, which is based on an entirely different way of thinking and leads to entirely different ways of exercising justice. Restorative justice has as its purpose to find ways of getting everyone's needs met so that peace and harmony can be retrieved when pain and conflict exist between parties. This kind of spirituality that looks for ways of getting everybody's needs met, that doesn't judge people as evil and deserving of punishment, it looks at a threefold situation. There's three parties that have to be dealt with whenever somebody's needs have not been met through a crime of some sort. There's the person who's been affected by the crime. We want to end in a way that this person is brought back to healing and in which their needs are fulfilled. A second party in this kind of justice is the person who acted in a way that created pain for others. We want to restore the situation by replacing whatever education led to this person behaving as they did is now replaced with an education that supports their contributing to people's well-being rather than doing things which create suffering for people. And the third party involved in restorative justice is the community that provided the education that contributed to the person's crime. We need to look at why is it that some people get their needs met by robbing, raping, and doing other things that cause great suffering. The old spirituality says this is because such people are evil and deserving to be punished and suffer for their actions. The spirituality of restorative justice says that these people are meeting their needs in the way they have been educated to meet their needs. So we need to have the surrounding community look at how are we providing education for people, and how have we failed in this situation, and what do we need to do to support this person learning a different way, and to look at how we are educating people and to make sure we are educating people to see that our well-being is one and the same, that we can never meet our own needs at other people's expense. Now, this concept of restorative justice is not a new one. There are many cultures throughout the world that have historically always used restorative justice and still do. Anthropologists Margaret Mead, Ruth Benedict, Ashley Montague have studied these cultures and describe how different is their spirituality and how different is their way of dealing with people who act in a way that creates pain and disharmony. So I'd like to now talk about what restorative justice looks like in these cultures that go about seeing justice in a radically different way, whose spirituality does not believe that people are evil or good. It believes that we all, when we're functioning in harmony with our nature, enjoy more than anything else contributing to one another's well-being. And therefore, when they see people doing things that contribute to pain on the part of others, that violate the rights of others, they do not interpret these people as evil or bad. They believe that the people must have forgotten the power they have to enrich life and how good it is to contribute to people's well-being. and therefore they surround them with people who know them, and they have a circle in which these people around them remind them of all of the things that they have done that has enriched their lives. Because their spirituality doesn't imply that this person did what they did because they're evil and deserve to be punished. They believe that a person would only act that way if something has disconnected them, has made them forget that the good life is how we contribute to one another's well-being.